samyashyami madvanair vinayasta medasa. Amusham, all of them, shut paritanam, suffering from hunger, artanam, of the distressed, paridevitam, the lamentation, samaishyami, I shall pacify, madvanai, by my arrows, vinaya, being cut to pieces, tava, of you, medasa, by flesh. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Now, with the help of my arrows, I shall cut you to pieces, and with your flesh, satisfy the hunger-stricken citizens who are now crying for want of grains. Thus I shall satisfy the crying citizens of my kingdom. Purport. Here we find some indication of how the government can arrange for the eating of cow flesh. It is here indicated that in rare circumstances, when there is no supply of grain, the government may sanction the eating of meat. However, when there is sufficient food, the government should not allow eating of cow's flesh just to satisfy their fastidious tongue. In other words, in rare circumstances, when people are suffering for want of grains, meat-eating or flesh-eating can be allowed, but not otherwise. The maintenance of slaughterhouses for the satisfaction of the tongue and the killing of animals unnecessarily should never be sanctioned by a government. As described in previous verse, cows and other animals should be given sufficient grass to eat. If despite a sufficient supply of grass, a cow does not supply milk, and if there is acute shortage of food, the dried up cow may be utilized to feed the hungry masses of people. According to the law of necessity, first of all, human society must try to produce food, grains and vegetables, but if they fail in this, they can indulge in flesh eating, otherwise not. As human society is presently structured, there is sufficient production of grains all over the world. Therefore, the opening of slaughterhouses cannot be supported. In some nations, there is so much surplus grain that sometimes extra grain is thrown into the sea, and sometimes the government forbids further production of grain. The conclusion is that the earth produces sufficient grain to feed the entire population, but the distribution of this grain is restricted due to trade regulation and a desire for profit. Consequently, in some places there is scarcity of grain and in others profuse production. If there were one government on the surface of the earth to handle the distribution of grain, there would be no question of scarcity, no necessity to open slaughterhouses, and no need to present false theories about overpopulation. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Lam Gayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Guru Dinataranam Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadam Ahyam Dadati Sva Padantikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Shri Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpata Rupyascha Kripa Sinhu Vyayevacha Paditanam Pavanipyo Vaishnavipyo Namo Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Budale Shrimade Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is a quite interesting verse and purport where with controversial point or the point which we not very often hear of is described in the verse itself and also in Srila Prabhupada's purport. King Prithu is now facing the earth in the form of the cow, and because she seemingly was willingly not producing food grains and making the people suffer in this situation, he was very displeased with her. He chastised her very much, and now it came to, in the previous verse he said that the earth would be punished, you should be punished for your behavior, and he said, now I will cut your body into pieces with my arrows, and I feed the suffering and crying citizens. The citizens were crying out of hunger. We know in Lord Chaitanya's Lila when they performed nocturnal kirtans in Srivastakur house, then the envious people were standing outside and they were discussing what's going on. So some of them were telling, actually they some were saying they have enough food and they just indulge in all kinds of sense gratification. Some would say that they are crying because they have nothing to eat. Also, this was attributed to Kalavecha Shekhar, about whom we also speak a little bit afterwards, whose disappearance day is today. But so literally, out of hunger, people can cry, and the citizens of the earth, when Vidu Maharaj was in charge or became in charge, they were crying out of hunger. So he said to Mother Earth, I will cut you to pieces. Srila Prabhupada says that if there is no supply of grain or fruits or other food, their flesh eating can be sanctioned by the government. For this, of course, the government should have a good power of discretion to really know what's going on. And it is definitely not based on the selfish desire. Prithu Maharaj was driven by compassion and a desire to protect his citizens. The similar, not similar story, but the story of flesh feeding by the king, we can find in a story of, you know, famous story from Mahabharata about King Shibi, who was very virtuous, very generous king, was very much known for his generosity and his magnanimous nature. So once there was two birds flying towards him, one dove or pigeon, totally in fear, was taking shelter in Maharaj Shibi's on Maharaj Shibi's lap, and this pigeon was followed by a hawk, and hawk wanted to eat this pigeon. But Maharaj Shibi said, you cannot do it, because pigeons have taken shelter of me, and the Kshatriyas are as such. If somebody takes shelter of them, they rather give out their life than let this person be injured. So this is the principles of Kshatriyas. It means they are very selfless, you know? Because there are also knowledge there. The Kshatriya who executes his duty and who will die in executing his duty will go to heavenly planets. Therefore, even what to say, spiritual world, they were ready to uphold Dharma to go to heavenly planets, because it was higher than being on the earth in any way. Doesn't matter how big king you are, how much you can enjoy, heaven is still better. Of course, we know that heaven for devotees is of no interest, but comparatively it's better than the earth. Yeah? For those who are not interested in self-realization, or interested in sense gratification. So he said, you cannot touch this dove, you cannot touch this pigeon, because he's under my protection. Then Hawk said, but I'm also your citizen, so you should also protect me, and I'm suffering from hunger. So you cannot be partial. You cannot just protect the dove and not protect me. Of course, King Shibi was a very virtuous king, and he knew the Dharma, and he figured out, yeah, actually I have to protect also now my hawk citizen and do something for him. So he was kind of in dilemma, but then out of his magnanimous nature, he came out of this dilemma and said, okay, no problem. I can give you piece of my flesh equal to this pigeon, so you can, you know, it will be fair trade. Well, you can imagine, you cut the flesh of one's body, sometimes it seems like it's easier to die. It's such a tremendous pain. So Kshatriyas, not only they were fearless, they didn't fear death, they were also quite tolerant. And we know they tell that big demon Stalin, who was ruling the Soviet Union in the time of, you know, in the time of World War, and he was a very demoniac person, was killing many people. But he had a very, very strong mind and very strong willpower. Therefore, he could terrorize so many people. So they say then when he was some heavy operation was made on him, like, but you definitely need to use narcosis, because he was also very suspicious of everybody, that anybody can kill him. So he was saying, I would take this operation without narcosis. Just by the power of the mind, he could withdraw his mind from the pain. This is actually why we suffer in the pain, because our mind gets absorbed, and it's basically, ultimately, it's more mental suffering. Of course, this pain we are feeling, but the yogis can withdraw their mind from the feelings of pain. So such powerful person was the Stalin, which didn't help him actually in ultimate sense. He had some qualities, but he totally misused them. But King Shibi would not misuse his qualities, and he was cutting his flesh and putting on the scale, and pigeon was very heavy. Somehow it was very small, but very dense, you know, the volume multiplied by density is your weight, eh? So seemingly he was very dense, because volume was not so big. And he was cutting flesh from his body, was putting on the scale, still the pigeon was more heavy. And then ultimately he said, what's the use of, you know, this cutting? And he put himself on the scale. At this moment, pigeon became Agni and hawk became Indra. And these two demigods, they were actually testing the virtues of King Shibi. And of course, his wounds immediately healed, and he became glorious throughout the history. And therefore, you know, we often now and again hear his story and his kind of manifestation of compassion, selflessness, generosity, magnanimity, and so on and so forth. He's a great example in this regard. Maharaj Prithu was not, there was no question of his flesh. There was somebody who was seemingly in charge of suffering of the citizens, Mother Earth, and he said, okay, if you will not obey me, I will cut you and I will feed my citizen, because there's nothing to eat. No grains, Prabhupada says, in these circumstances, one have to find a solution. Of course, each person for oneself would decide if I rather eat flesh or I would die, you know, out of hunger. It is really given to each individual to decide. But generally, the king, if people want, king have to provide. Of course, we will know further that actually it was not really the problem of Mother Earth. She would be very humbly hearing. First, she was kind of speaking in challenging mood, her first addressing of King Prithvi. But then she would, you know, like, you cannot cut me, I'm like a boat. If you cut me, then everybody will drown and die and so on and so forth. But then she would say, actually, what can I do? There was a time when King Vena and other demoniac kings were ruling, and all the atheist rogues and thieves would use this grain for their sense gratification and to perpetuate their unlawful activity. So I hidden, for this reason, I have hidden everything which Brahma created, all these roots and grains and plants within myself, in order not to provide for these bad citizens. We know Earth is have the tendency to be burdened by demoniac forces, and for this sake, actually, externally Krishna appeared. She was burdened by demoniac forces and by military forces assembled on the surface, and then she came to Lord Brahma, and she was saying that please do something, you know. There's something should be done. So they, all demigods, came to the milk ocean, start praying to Lord Vishnu, please appear. Then Krishna appeared, and Krishna arranged that not only all the bad guys were slaughtered in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, but he also saw that his own dynasty, Yadu dynasty, was so powerful that Earth could not bear so many powerful warrior or Kshatriya personalities. So he even arranged that his whole dynasty was slaughtered. So he kind of relieved the Earth. So in this time of rule of King Vena and all other demoniac kings, actually the situation was like this. Earth could not bear the burden of this atheistic demoniac elements. We see also nowadays it's difficult for the Earth to bear. So we see then things happening in Japan here and there. The Earth is striking back. So Earth said that I actually hidden this all grains and seeds, everything within myself, and with time it's deteriorated. So I actually cannot give it out. It's not because I don't want, but it's just impossible. So you should arrange for the grains and all the food being brought out of me. I'm standing in the form of the cow, also not in vain. I'm staying in the form of the cow because you need to milk me. And you find a suitable calf. And you get a suitable calf and you get a suitable pot. So with these two ingredients, I will feel affection to the calf and I will provide everything. So I'm not really, you don't need to slaughter me. So we see that milking is superior to slaughtering. In any case, even the story of Prithu Maharaj, it was shown. Then Prithu Maharaj, we will read about it, but I just wanted to give a short preview that we don't think too much bad about the Mother Earth. Why she would not obey Prithu? What was going on? What is the reason? Actually, then Prithu Maharaj would arrange for Svayambhuva Manu to become their calf, and his own hands he would use as a cup. And then all others figure out, wow, you can get a lot from the earth. So then all others start bringing their oil calves, the siddhas, sages would bring Brihaspati as a calf, and then demigods would bring Indra as a calf. Everybody was getting out from the earth whatever they wanted. So earth is not greedy, earth is ready to provide. We see earth is providing. no need to punish the West, no need to torture the West. In fact, you know, the more we exploiting the Earth, the less the Earth will give. Nowadays, still we see, Prabhupada says that in our society there is no shortage of food grains. In fact, there is a surplus of food grains. If you figure out, there's one organization called PETA, the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals, like a big, big, hardcore vegan organization who's really trying to propagate non-animal food. Their data is that to produce one kg of meat, you need to feed or use 16 kgs of grain. So it's quite, you know, it's quite inappropriate. So what is where is the question of starving? 16 times more food we can have, you know. So there's no question of overpopulation, as Srila Prabhupada says. If there's one ruler who have, so Srila Prabhupada also conversing here for the one ruler over the whole earth, because then you can see and you can have the best interest of the whole population. If you really have consideration of everybody and feel everybody is my citizens and everybody under my protection, not only this land, and then I don't care what's happening with other lands. So in order to feed my citizens, I will exploit others. So this is what's going on. Actually, nobody's interested in themselves, not in their citizens, even in themselves they're interested. And so it's a lot of mismanagement in Kali Yuga. But anyway, even mismanagement is there. Still we have a lot of food grain. Still, even within each and every individual country, it's much more beneficial to, and much more economically beneficial to eat grains than meat. Meat production should be subsidized by the taxes of the people. So, you know, basically we're paying, or people who work and pay the taxes, the meat production should be subsidized because it's very expensive. It is very expensive. But nobody will buy meat at expensive price, so, you know, they have to subsidize, the government have to subsidize. It's very demonic. System is very demonic. Therefore, the karma of society, of individual people are really very heavy. So there's nothing which can save them really, other than the holy name and Sankirtana movement. Therefore, devotees should do their best to go and, without discrimination, try to give them mercy. Of course, each according to one's qualification, as much as mercy one can give. Lord Chaitanya would, by his beauty, he would make people cry in love of God. We maybe are not so qualified, not so beautiful also. to go, that people just see us and they will cry in ecstasy. Each one of us has his own qualifications, therefore we will use whatever we can in service of Srila Prabhupada. So back to flesh production is also a lot of water is wasted. They say if you will not eat one kilogram of meat, you can base 1 year. So much, 20,000 liters of water, again, this is data of PETA, 20,000 liters of water need to be used to produce one kg of meat. It's quite outrageous. So, therefore, we also have shortage of water, shortage of rain, and so on and so forth. The whole system is very much twisted because of this unlawful meat-eating, slaughterhouses, and so on and so forth. And Vedas, in many places, particularly in Manu Samhita, and also in other places, it is said that eating meat without properly bringing it in sacrifice is forbidden. It's sinful, and all the people are implicated, beginning from the person who allows to slaughter the animal, up to the person who eats, you know, who cooks, who produces, who slaughters. Everybody in this chain is implicated and will suffer long time in hell. Yeah, for one slaughtered cow, one hare in a cows which is slaughtered, one have to spend a lot of time in the hellish planets. So what to say about cows upon cows upon cows? So the karma of society is bad, and a mentality of society is bad because of meat eating. We are what we eat, and Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita that there are three types of food. In 17th chapter he describes that there are food in a mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance, and definitely meat is what is in a mode of ignorance. Putrefied, decomposed, bad smelling, prepared more than 3 hours, I mean, how long the meat stays before you. It's deteriorating. No fruits or vegetables can deteriorate in such a speed. You see, it's just practical. It's a tamasic, and if people cultivate mode of darkness, even by this they go to hell, yeah? Adog gachanti tamasic. So one who live in a mode of darkness goes down. Yeah? One who lives in a mode of passion somehow hovers in the planets. One who lives in a mode of goodness progresses, and but even vegetarianism is not the solution, because Krishna, in the same Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Yagyasya shashanah santo muchyante sarva kilpishak bhujante tatvam tatvam papa yepachyante atma karana." Yes, he says that those who eat food, or devotees of the Lord, they eat food which is first offered in the sacrifice. And those who eat and cook the food for their own sense gratification, they eat only sin. This is again our position of being controller and enjoyer. We cannot be separate from Krishna. Everything should be done as a sacrifice for Krishna, and particularly our eating. So even by being vegetarian, a person basically eats sin. It's not as sinful as eating animals, but it is still sinful. Therefore, just making people vegetarians will not do, whereas it's not bad. Their consciousness can be a little more elevated, and they can be more receptive to the message of Krishna. So it's good to try to, if we can elevate people a little bit, it's good to try to elevate them a little bit. Of course, we don't make them simply vegetarian, we feed them prasada, which is very, very powerful means for elevation. It's somebody claims that our food for life can be just agyata sukriti. It is in one sense, because when people eat prasadam, they do not know what they're doing. But on the other hand, it's tremendously potent. So we can never underestimate the potency of prasadam, because it's Krishna himself, and people do not know. Of course, if they do not know, they don't appreciate prasadam, maybe they get less benefit and not direct, you know, ecstasy and, you know, tears flowing from their eyes as if devotee, you know, really knows this is Krishna. I mean, can get some emotions also while eating, most probably. I never got, but I saw some do get. And so this understanding, really Krishna, it's really Krishna's mercy. And but really people who eat prasadam, they get immense benefit. So we should never stop prasadam. This is easiest, everybody, I mean, person should be so demoniac. I saw such people, they just do not want to eat. Just something in them is really not letting them eat prasadam. But it's very rare. I mean, such people quite rare, even in Kali Yuga. But mostly people, they would eat, you know, something nice they would eat. You know, and in this way, they become purified. And naturally, when it comes to prasadam, the greatest supplier of prasadam is Lord Jagannath. Right? Lord Jagannath, he would eat 52 times a day. Yeah? So many preparation. Oh, 56? Huh? 52, I think. Yeah? 56, yeah? So, I mean, I deprived Jagannath of 4 meals now, sorry. So 56 times a day he will eat, and he just constantly eats, and he provides his Mahaprasadam. Therefore, in Jagannath Puri, when we go, it's you know, most important service one does is just get prasadam. And Lord Jagannath is very merciful, and his prasadam is very special also. And today's his appearance day, actually. Today's Snana Yatra. Snana Yatra means appearance day of Lord Jagannath. The bathing of Lord Jagannath was performed on the day of Lord Jagannath's appearance when Kinindra Dyumna opened the doors of his temple. But what happened before, I will tell, because very interesting story, before Lord Jagannath appeared. It was in Satya Yuga, and Kinindra Dyumna and his wife Gundicha, they were very great devotees of the Lord. And Kinindra Dyumna, he wanted to see the Lord very much. He had an intense desire to see the Lord, but somehow Krishna arranged that he could not see him till a certain period. They lived in Avantipuri, it was in where present Ujjain now situated. He was very generous, very, very great devotee, and in compound of his temple he would host pilgrims. Pilgrims, saintly people who will go to the place of pilgrimage. And one day a certain group of pilgrims came, and they start speaking about Nila Madhava, very special deity, Nila Madhava. They were speaking about themselves glorifying how Nila Madhava is so magnanimous that, and so wonderful that even just seeing Nila Madhava one time, person will get liberation, go to Vaikuntha. And if person decide to see Nila Madhava, but dies on the same day and do not see him, still he got to Vaikuntha, because there's a mercy of Nila Madhava. So they were talking about it, and some devotee, local devotee, overheard their talk, and he told to the minister, and then minister told to the king, such a wonderful deity, Nila Madhava. You desire to see Krishna, you definitely have to see Nila Madhava. So king rushed to the place where pilgrims stayed, but they left. Again, arrangement of Krishna, they left. And he became very anxious, he became very, very determined to see Nila Madhava, but he didn't even know where to go. Had no idea. So he assembled all his commanders and his helpers, and he sent them, it was in Madhya Pradesh, so he sent them all places of India to search for Nila Madhava. He said, within 3 months, please, you go and return and give me the news. What, you know, did you find Nila Madhava or not? And one particular person, Vidyapati, who was the son of Maharaja's priest, he was sent also, and he was sent towards east to search. So he went. He was going, he almost went to the shore of the ocean. And there he saw Vidyapati, so beautiful city, beautiful gardens, beautiful hills, very, very special, not like all other places. And then he asked the people, what is this? He said, this is our village, and here the Sabara races, tribal races, living. And the head of Sabaras, Vishwavasu, he's a very, very pious, very devoted, very magnanimous and gentle personality. All the pilgrims go to see him, so you please go see him also. You know, once you're here, please at least have darshan of Vishwavasu. So here, they showed him the place in this house of Vishwavasu, and Vidyapati went there. And door was opened, and he saw a beautiful girl. It was the daughter of Vishwavasu, and she said, her name was Lalita, and she said, my father is not here, so you please wait outside, because it's not a custom to bring somebody at home when, you know, only one daughter at home, one woman at home. You please wait outside, he will come soon, and then please, you have his association, you speak with him. So he was waiting, then Vishwavasu came back, and he saw such an effulgent personality, very fragrant, very beautiful. Vidyapati was just noticing it, but he didn't do anything, just kind of. And then Vishwavasu also saw that this Vidyapati is very beautiful and very well-cultured, very noble young man. So he thought, you know, let me host him for a couple of days. And maybe some idea behind this. Because he was a very young girl, he was a nice young boy. So most probably there was a thought of getting the girl and boy together. He said, his girl, you please, his Lalita, you please serve this Brahmana very nicely, everything. So she was serving, and she was very much attracted by the qualities of this young boy, and she fell in love with him. But she was also very beautiful, she was also very dutiful, and very, with a wonderful serving attitude, so Vidyapati also fell in love with him. So, everything, all ends, all well, which is ends well, there was a marriage, and they became husband and wife. Though Vidyapati had another Brahmani wife back in Avantipur. But at that time, multiple marriage, monogamy was practiced. If person could take care of more than one wife, no problem. Nowadays it's forbidden because actually very difficult to take care of one wife. Those who married, no. So, you know, what to say about have two wives? It's overkill. First of all, they will kill one another before you even notice. So it's not recommended in Kali Yuga have monogamy. But in Satya Yuga, it was okay. So they were living, and then Vidyapati became curious. What, you know, he was kind of sensing that it's somehow connected with Nila Madhava. From inside he felt, I need to figure out where her father goes in the morning every day. He comes totally in bliss and very fragrant in the evening. So he asked, my dear wife, tell me where your father goes. And she said, that I cannot tell you. My father said not to tell anybody. He said, you don't need to tell me. Actually, I am one with you now. We are husband and wife, so you cannot have any secrets from me. So he was a little philosophically educated. He said, you cannot have any secrets from me. She said, he goes worship a deity every day. He goes and worships a deity. He said, what is the name of this deity? And she said, Nila Madhava. And then Vidyapati became very inspired. He said, please ask your father to bring me to Nila Madhava. She said, okay, I will ask. She was a very nice wife. She said, I will ask my father. Then father came back, and Lalita very nicely, sweetly came, sat on his lap, said, father, I have one benediction from you. Yeah? It's a very, women can do things very nice way, but you cannot say no. So he said, of course, I will give you benediction. I wanted to give you benediction. What is this benediction? She said, you should promise me you will definitely grant me this benediction. He said, no problem, tell what is benediction. And she said, please take my husband to Nila Madhava. Vishavasa became very hesitant. He didn't say no, but he became very perplexed what to do, because he was fearing that if some person comes and sees Nila Madhava, he can take him away, or the deity can disappear. That was his anxiety. So the daughter saw his anxiety, and she said, you know, if you don't take my husband there, I will take poison and I die. Yeah? So this is the weapon of women. They threaten you. I don't know, those who know, I think was quite common. The biggest threat, I will commit suicide, I will take poison, I'll die. Then what you do? You never know if she's serious or not serious. She can be serious. She can be blackmailing you, but you better don't try to figure out at the end. Yeah? So then father said, of course I don't want you to die. I will take your husband. No problem. But under one condition, I will blindfold him. When we go there, then I take the cloth away, he can see the deity, then I will blindfold him again when we come back. Is it okay? He said, it's okay with me. So she came to the husband, tell Vidyapati everything. He said, don't worry, if you want to go sometimes yourself, I will also arrange for you. There's a mustard seed, now the rainy season, you go on the chariot, on the bola cart, and you drop the mustard seed, and they will grow into nice yellow flowers, and you will see the whole road towards the deity afterwards. So. The next day, Vishwavasu, blindfolded Vidyapati, took him on a chariot, and in some tricky way he brought him to Nilamadava. And of course he was dropping his seeds very dutifully. So they went to Nilamadava, and he saw this beautiful form of four-armed Krishna with lotus flower chakra, gada, and clap, and then, conchal. So it was very, very beautiful deity. So he could not take his eyes off. In the meanwhile, Vishwavasu said, "I will go collect paraphernalia for worship. You stay here. Have your darshan." And then he left. Vidyapati was looking. There was beautiful lotus lake nearby. And he saw one crow sleeping on some mango tree which was hanging over the lake. And then somehow was very fast asleep and it fell down to the lake. And then immediately four-armed form came out. Beautiful, shining four-armed form. Garuda came and took this form to Vaikuntha. So Vidyapati thought, wow, this crow was doing no bhakti, nothing, and he just got Vaikuntha liberation. So I should also not waste my time. So he started climbing the tree and he wanted to jump to the lake also and commit suicide and also finish the business, go to Vaikuntha. Then he heard Akashvani said, "Please do not commit suicide now. You have a lot of wonderful deeds to do. It's not time for you to go. Climb back, and go to the temple as if nothing happened." So of course Vidyapati could not disobey such a command. He climbed back, he went to the temple. Meanwhile Vishwavasu came, and the whole day they performed arati, and they, you know, it was wonderful day, full of devotional emotions. Therefore Vishwavasu would go there every day because his life was fulfilled just by doing this. Then after, at the end of the day, he blindfolded Vidyapati and he put him on his bola cart and took him back to the house. When they came back, then the voice, the same voice, spoke to Vishwavasu, and he said, "Now, I was very much pleased with your service," Nilamada was saying, "so very much pleased, but now I want to have a royal opulence. So please let this Brahmana go to the king, inform him about my whereabouts, and he should bring me and he should construct a tremendous palace, temple for me, and he should worship me there." Vishwavasu, hearing this, became very much aggrieved and disturbed, and he didn't want to fulfill the order of Nilamadava. He was very attached to him, so he arrested Vidyapati at home, and he didn't let him get out. So Vidyapati appealed to his wife, said, "You know, you do something about it. You know, I cannot sit here. King is waiting for me, and I need to fulfill my mission. And I'm just sitting here, locked in the four walls." So again, Lalita came to her father and said, "Please let my husband go, or I will commit suicide." So again, Vishwavasu had to obey his daughter, and he let her go, and he went back to the king. Vidyapati went back to the king, and king was very happy to see him. It was 6 months already since his journey started, and he informed him, "I found Nilamadava. I saw this beautiful form, and please let's go and bring him here." And king said, "I'm not going just alone. I take my whole kingdom, my wives, all my opulence, everything. We go, and I want to serve this Lord of my heart with the best of my ability." So they had a grand procession, and as they approached almost the place, they saw there was nothing there. It was just, everything was covered with sand. There was no yellow flowers, no the hill, no the village, nothing. There was nobody. The place was covered with sand. Of course, no Nilamadava also. King became very much aggrieved. He faced the ocean, started crying, meditating, and fasting, and he was determined to leave his body. Then again, Akashvani spoke to the king and said, "Don't commit suicide. Actually, you will not get my darshan as Nilamadava here, but I will send Brahma. Brahma will come take you to Vaikuntha planet. You will get my darshan in Vaikuntha. It's not bad also. Yeah? Good deal. And so in this world, I will manifest in four forms as Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, and Sudarshana Chakra. In this form, you will worship me. So then, and he asked, you construct a beautiful temple. So temple was constructed just there, near this place. And here, Indradyuma Maharaj, he started the city, Radha Krishnapura. Ramakrishnapura. And then Brahma came and he took him to Vaikuntha. And King Indradyuma had beautiful darshan of his Lord. And, you know, after this, he was heading back. But because the times are a little bit different than the time here, when he came back, he found no one. There was totally different king. King name was Gandamadava, and he was taking care of the temple. Temple was dilapidated and again reconstructed by these times. A lot of ages came, so nobody knew who this King Indradyumna was. He came and said, I constructed this temple. He came to this king, and king said, no, and you just repaired it. No, how you can claim. But there was fortunately one crow, Kaka Busundi, who could also speak by fortune, and he witnessed all the things which were happening at this time, you know, from the construction of the even before. He was a very old crow. So he testified on the part of Indradyumna Maharaj, and then everybody accepted, yes, Indradyumna Maharaj is actually the king, and he's actually the owner of this temple. Before also, Lord instructed him that you should find, there would be a reddish log flowing, Daru Brahma. And from this log, you cut these four deities. So one day, this log was floating. Also, somehow, by Krishna's mercy, his wife was still there. She also seemed to be a long-lived personality. So they found this log, and with all the... So King regained his royal position, King regained his power and the army, everything. So they tried to take this log out. And nothing could be done. They could not take the log out. Then again, the voice from the sky said, stop sweating, stop trying, it's useless, you will not be able to get me out. There's only there are only two persons who can get me out, and this is Vishavasu and Vidyapati. They were also still alive somewhere. So the king, you arrange for them and for the wife, for the Lalita, to come, and they would take me. And then you arrange for the carpenter to curve the deity. So then somehow or other they found all these personalities, Daitapati, Vishavasu, and then, you know, Vidyapati, his wife Lalita, they brought in a chariot of honor, they brought them back, and they got the log out. Then king called for the best carpenters all over his kingdom. Everybody came and tried to do something with the log, but their tools were immediately broken as soon as they touched this iron-like log. Then from somewhere, one Brahmana appeared, and the name Ananta Maharana. It was Nilamadava himself. So he said, I will do the job. Please, you let me in the temple for 21 days. Don't open the doors. You know, I don't need anything, no food, no drink. Just let me be there for 21 days. And afterwards, you get your darshan of your deity. So King agreed, of course. And then the doors of the temple were locked, and king was so anxious to see Nilamadava that he was pacing back and forth. He knew Nila Madhavaseta will manifest in different forms, but he could not figure out what kind of form, so he was assuming it will be form of Krishna. So he was pacing back and forth, and after 14 days, suddenly the knocking of the tools were not anymore heard. So king was perplexed. Then his wife came. Now first he wanted to come in, then his prime minister said, don't come in because your brahmana said it should be like this, don't disobey the brahmana's order. Then his wife came and said, his brahmana, he must probably died, you know. Oh, he's now lying very emaciated because he didn't eat anything. And if he will die, we will be guilty of the brahmana hatya, killing of brahmanas. Then he heard the word of his wife. He was also very eager to come in, and they opened the doors, and there was no Ananta Maharaj, there was only Jagannath Bade Subhadra Devi Ki Jai. So, and then, of course, he didn't know that this is the Lord as he should be. He was very, said, I'm offender. I opened the door before the due date, and therefore the Brahmana disappeared, and the Lord is not finished. We became very aggrieved again, he said, and start fasting to death. Then, again, all saving Akashvani said, no, actually, this is form in which I want to appear, in which I want to be worshipped. So you just immediately perform bathing ceremony, install me, and make nice festival. Then I want, after bathing, I want to go on the chariot ride, and you know, the Lord instructed him that he wants, how he wants to be worshipped. Of course, little sidetrack, why Lord is in this form is a little another story, and the story goes back to Dwaraka, where Krishna was sleeping at night with his queens, Rukmini, Satyabhama, Jambavati, and in the night he was screaming out the names of, you know, Sudam, Subal, Yashoda, Nanda, Gopis, Radhe. I said, what is this, you know? Why he is so much absorbed in this Vrindavan? I see we're getting real snan yatra outside there. So why Krishna is so much thinking of them? Because what you think so much during the day, naturally, at night, you will dream about. They approach Rohini Devi, who was living at that time in Dwaraka, but who was witnessing all Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. She was sent by her husband Vasudev to Vrindavan to be in a safe environment under the protection of his friend Nanda Maharaj. And by the Yoga Maya potency, of course we know that Balaram was transformed into her womb. And anyhow, so they said, you know what was going on there in Vrindavan. Please tell us the glories of Vrindavan Dham, the glories of cowherd boys, Mother Yashoda, the glories of the gopis. She said, this is a very confidential topic, and you must make sure that Krishna and Balaram do not hear. Otherwise, if they hear this, they become mad, and God knows what, you know, we cannot do anything. So they took Subhadra, and they said, you stay outside the door and guard that Krishna and Balaram do not appear. And then Rohini Devi, she assembled all the queens, and she started telling them Vrindavan pastime. So Subhadra, she was standing and she was putting her ear. She was guarding at the same time she wanted to hear what's going on. And the pastime was so nectarian and so full of bliss that she got Mahabhav emotion. And her limbs shrank, her eyes became very big, and she got a big smile. So actually, Subhadra was the first who became like this. Then Krishna and Balaram was passing by and saw, what's going on? Our sister Subhadra, what's happening with her? There must be something very interesting behind this door. So they also start hearing, and the Krishna Katha also affected them. And because they were hearing about their beloved associates in Vrindavan, they also assumed this form of Jagannath and Balaram. And Narada Muni came, and this time he always came in a good time. And he was praying, "Oh my Lord, I want you that you eternally reside in this form, and I want to worship you in this form." So in this way, Lord Jagannath actually manifested this form. And Lord Chaitanya would always come and see Jagannath, and he would see Shyama Sundar. If one has true love, when he gets the darshan of Lord Jagannath, he sees Jagannath in the form of Shyama Sundara playing the flute, Tribhanga Shyama Sundara. So this form was manifested, and the Sinana Yatra was performed by King Indradyumna as the first inauguration of this deities. And then King Indradyumna had one prayer. He said, "My Lord, I want one benediction that I don't have any sons, any daughters, no descendants." Let's say, why? Usually, you know, all kings want descendants. It's like a big deal. Everybody, if they don't have, they're very anxious. But he has such devotion. He said, "I know, I want your temple to be independent, and, you know, that not my sons and daughters, they will claim that the all donations given to you and all opulence, everything is their own. They will use their for own gratification. They go to hell. I don't want this to happen. I want this temple of Lord Jagannath will be, you know, independent. You should be the proprietor, and it should be clear. I will die, and then no one anymore can claim the proprietorship." So this was a benediction which King Indradyumna asked from Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath also told him, "I want to be served. I want to be served by descendants of Vishwavasu. I want to be served, especially in my Ratha Yatra time. Nobody else should take care of me from Snan Yatra till I come back from Ratha Yatra. Only Daitas, Savaras should take care of me, because they are my very dear devotees. And I want the sons of Brahmana wife of Vidyapati become my pujaris. And I want the sons of Lalita, the Sabara wife of Vidyapati, become my cooks." So they became cooks, they became known as Supakara. Very, very, those who cook very, very nicely. So till these days, his descendants are serving Lord Jagannath. And the Snana Yatra is a wonderful festival which we all still able to witness. I think the Abhishek start from 9 o'clock, something like this. 8:39 will go till 12. And Lord is based on this day with earthen pots, with this water from sacred liver. Actually, in Jagannath Puri, they would take special water from jungles which is not even looked at. You know, glanced upon the animals, you know, very, very pure water from basin. And they would collect 130 golden and copper pots, and they would go with procession after Mangal Arati to fetch the water, and then they would bathe Lord Jagannath. And Lord Jagannath on the Chaturdashi. So this is the Purnima of the month Jeshta, the last day. And one day before, Jagannath usually come out of the temple to Snan Mandap, a big raised platform, big pandal, which is raised on the, you know, on the roof of the temple that everybody could see, even people from outside. And there's special Snanavedi, special platform is constructed on this platform. Jagannath would be based, and because actually today should be very hot day. It is the end of the hot season, the beginning of the rainy season. On this time, Jagannath would be having his snan pastime. And after that, he will become sick for 14 days. This time is called Anavasara, as far as I remember. The time which is inappropriate, unsuited for worship. And Lord Jagannath goes to the quarters of Lakshmi Devi, and Lakshmi Devi only, she takes care of her, and these dietas assist her. She would give some nice herbal beverages to cure Lord Jagannath. Externally seen, because Jagannath uses special organic paint, then during this non-ceremony, this paint goes off, and then, you know, they need to also repaint. But actually, this is external reason. But internal reason, it's the best time of logic that he becomes sick. And once Radhanath Maharaj was telling the story that he went there with one famous physician, famous doctor, and somehow other, as Radhanath Maharaj can, he got access to these quarters where nobody can come. And he was explaining to this physician that actually Jagannath getting fever. And this physician was not believing him. He said, yeah, it's just, you know, mythology, fairy tales. So this Sarvaras Dai, he actually has fever, you know. He actually has fever. I'm doctor, can I check? So Maharaj said this doctor came and he touched under the chin of Jagannath and he immediately took his hand away. It was burning hot. You know, so Jagannath is actually showed mercy to this doctor and he, you know, manifested. You know? When Lord shows special mercy, he can manifest his lilas like that. So Jagannath actually has fever. Can we perceive it or not? It's another story. It depends on our devotion. But Jagannath is Jagannath. He's the Lord of the universe. He's a living personality. He's not a piece of wood. And so he will have fever, and he wants to have fever. You know, it's a good time for him, most probably. He spends time with his Lakshmi. And afterwards, there would be one special darshan. After the 14 days, special darshan. It's called Navayova Notsava. Krishna comes in a special form, again freshly painted, so to say, and he gives darshan to his devotees. And then this pandas says that those who get darshan of this on this day will be purified from all sins. Therefore, so many people come to get darshan of Jagannath on this day. And then after this, he will go on Radha Yatra. He said to Lakshmi Devi, I want to see my devotees now. I want to go on a chariot drive. So he will go. And then he will not return so soon. So after 5 days, Lakshmi Devi became very anxious and said, my husband went for a short while and still not coming back. So therefore we have a festival of Hera Panchami when Lakshmi became very, very angry. And she goes to Gundicha Mandir, and she would give hard time. She would beat, you know, the servants of Lakshmi would beat the servants of Jagannath. Said, "What's going on?" You know, and they will promise, "No, no problem. Just now we bring him back." So there was an interesting festival. And then Lakshmi pacified, goes back, but still 3-4 days Jagannath is still there, and he only returns. So it's a wonderful pastimes of the Lord, which can draw our hearts to him, and we should participate definitely in this Jagannath Lila, today's start, and then to meditate on it, to read about it, get our minds absorbed in it, and this is something which can purify our mind and draw us closer to Krishna. Time is definitely up. I just wanted to mention there's 2 devotees who would come and visit Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri regularly for Ratha Yatra, and it has appeared that today is also their disappearance day.